Blog Talk Radio.
Who can fail a virtual woman?
The Lady, Her Lover, and Lord. What a great classic by T.D. Jakes and Shirley Murdoch. God bless you, everybody. God bless you. This is another live broadcast by God's Word to Man, and I'm Brother Manny. I'm here. We have a great topic this evening for you. But before we get started, I just want to let you know we do have a Facebook page. That's God's Word to Man Facebook page. If you're listening to this live broadcast or if you're going to listen to the recording later on, we encourage you to go over to God's Word to Man Facebook page. If you are on Facebook, like and follow that page because we have a lot of content that we put out on that page, whether it be a post or a live video or even just an encouraging word. I mean, we put a lot of stuff there that can be very beneficial to you. And so we ask that you go over there and like and follow that page. We also have an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-O-R-D, the number 2-M-A-N at gmail.com. And if you email us there with your prayer requests, your comments, your questions, we check that periodically. We will respond as soon as we can. And so without further ado, you know what day it is. It's Monday nights. That's right. We're back on Monday nights. And tonight we have a great topic for you. I hope you decide to call in and be involved in the broadcast because that's what Monday nights is all about. It's about you, the listener, being able to call in, ask a question, make a comment, and get your questions answered by the brothers and the sisters that participate here on God's Word to Man. And tonight will be no different. Tonight, if you'd like to call in with your question, your comment, or your prayer request, you can do so by calling 323-870-3403. Again, that number is 323-870-3403. Tonight's topic, the role of women in modern Christianity. The role of women in modern Christianity. Now, I know that this is a hot button topic. A lot of people don't want to address it. They don't want to talk about it. It's often taboo when we're talking about the role of women in Christianity and how women are supposed to act, how they're supposed to carry themselves, and how you know, if they should be in leadership roles, if they to be pastors and bishops and all types of, back and forth. is created from this type of topic. And, you know, a large percentage of the Christian church is made up of women and children. Most churches today, they barely resemble what can remember back in the day growing up in the church. I mean, if you're over 35, you remember how church was back in the day. And today's church is definitely a stark contrast to what used to be. The roles have switched. A lot of women in leadership roles, like I said earlier. But does this mean that women no longer need a man? Is the question. You know, how should Christian women even dress in the church? I mean, some of the stuff that I've been seeing lately, I know it's Come As You Are, but come on, y'all. I'm not taking either side. I'm sort of like the moderator here today, but some of the stuff, you know, I see walking up in the church is just like, wow, you know? So, you know, another question, should the woman be chasing the man? I know that the Bible says, and a lot of people quote this scripture, he that findeth himself a wife, he that findeth himself a wife. But what if a woman found herself a husband? Does that mean that's not God ordained? And God didn't send that man to her? So we have a lot of questions that we want to ask tonight. And I have two of my brothers calling in tonight. We only have one on right now. We'll wait on the other brother to call in later. But we do have a special guest tonight. One of the sisters, Sister Jeanette, she's also going to be joining us tonight to kind of give us the female perspective of things. Normally we only had the brothers on, but tonight is a special night. We got one of the sisters on tonight, and hopefully the other sisters that are listening, that are out there, call in as well and give their perspective. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our participants on that have already called in. God bless you, Rev. How are you?
God bless you, my brother. How are you doing today?
Man, I feel wonderful. I'm great. I'm happy to be back on Monday nights, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Appreciate the honor.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to be on with you. Thank you. Praise God that my sister Jeanette's on the line. Amen. Looking forward to a very challenging conversation.
Well, I hope it's not that challenging, and I'm going to go ahead and invite our sister on. God bless you, Jeanette. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Amen. Thank you for joining us, Jeanette. I just want to say that this was Jeanette's topic, and it's something that God's been dealing with her on, and she calls it her baby. And so obviously 1 hour or 2 hours might not be enough time to cover this particular topic. I mean, there's a lot that we can go into, but we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. And if you want to call in, again, that number is 323-870-3403. Now, I'm going to give you the opportunity, Jeanette, to just kind of give a basis or like an opening comment as to why this has been placed on your heart. And, you know, we'll just go from there. I mean, is this something that you've been like studying or something that you've been like really looking into, doing a deep dive for a long time, or is it just something that just on your mind?
Well, definitely it's something that I've been dealing with for about 3-4 years. And I decided to talk about it because of a question that, a status that a young man put up on Facebook. And the status that he put up was about a female friend of his that said that she was tired of playing the male role in every relationship. And so I commented that part of that issue is because so many women have taken the role of they don't need a man, so then therefore a lot of men fall back. And for some reason, the roles have switched. We have a lot of men who have taken the place where they want to be dined, you know, and they want to be pursued And I feel like the roles have switched, and so that leaves for the woman to make the first phone call or take the man out, and everything's 50-50. It's just not there anymore for the man to pursue the woman. As you said earlier, the Bible says that a man that finds a wife finds a good thing. But the roles have switched. We have women pursuing men. So the status that the young man put up, he said that he listened to his female friend and he thought to himself, like, wow, you know, women, the black woman, they no longer trust us. They no longer trust us with dating or, you know, with their future, with their plans. And it just put a lot on his mind. And so when I commented on that about women having the attitude and the men taking the roles that they take, another woman commented like, well, we no longer need a man, you know. And I said, well, that's crazy. That it sounds like you're smarter than God, because he made the woman for man, so he made us for each other. And the woman replied, okay, we're not talking about the Bible. We're not talking about a spiritual thing, but that's our problem, because we have taken the Bible and we've taken God out of everything, and we've taken so many morals and values out of our lives until now here we are. And we have a lot of women that are single, including me. So, of course, it's something that's near and dear to my heart. So that's what prompted me to start this discussion.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I mean, everything you're saying, you know, like, I absolutely agree with, even though, like, okay, so I'm married, but I do hear a lot of the chatter, and I'm involved in a lot of conversation as it relates to relationship and marriage, and who should pursue who, and is the Bible outdated? Can we realistically take what the Bible is telling us? And like you mentioned in your tweet, a text to me that you know, you were reading 1 Timothy 2nd chapter, where it talks about even how women should dress and how they should act and how they should do this and that. And we're going to talk about that a little later, but you do have a point, and it's a very valid topic, and it's one that many don't discuss anymore in the church. I wanted to give you an opening statement there, Rev. So you heard the topic, you know, Jeanette has kind of summarized, you know, what we've been talking about. And so before we get into some of the questions and the answers to those questions, can you make an opening statement and kind of just, you know, introduce yourself and who you are?
So thank you, praise God. I am Joseph Murphy. I'm senior pastor of Caravan Church of Memphis, and I am just a follower of Christ, and I've been in ministry since 91, pretty much been in church all my life. I want to say this, that I thank God for my sister Jeanette being on. She articulated the point very well. I mean, the foundational problem we're having is that we have removed God out of everything. And it's really worse than what we really understand, because it's not even so much the world. You expect the world to kind of divert away from God. But some churches have essentially led the charge in watering down the way God wants things to be. And so when we get into a place where church is not even honoring how God said things should be, we're definitely going to be in some serious trouble. I'm of the school of thought. I'm 53 years old, just turned 53 last month. But
I think we may have lost Rev there.
Yeah, because I can't hear him.
I think he might have. Yeah, we lost his here. He'll call back in. Sometimes that happens, folks. You know, people drop their calls. Rev got to get rid of that cricket. No, I'm just playing. yeah, Rev is back already. Rev is back already. God bless you, Rev. Go ahead from where you start, where you were at.
Yeah, I was just saying, if it's not broke, then don't fix it. you know, and the Bible,
right.
The Bible gives us a, it gives us a clear, it gives us clear instructions on how to operate through life and everything in life, how women should operate, how men should operate, how we should coexist. And so anytime you remove God out of the equation, of course you're going to have confusion and you're going to have man's desire to do things. When I say man, I mean mankind. You're going to have their desire to do things however they want to do them. And so I don't have a lot to say because to me, Jeanette said it all. You know, when it's all said and done, if you take God out of the equation, you're going to get people who think to them, who think in their own understanding, and our understanding is extremely limited, and it's not based out of any, a lot of times not based in facts. And so it's just based in our opinion and what we think. And the danger about that is often the way we think is based on how we feel, how our emotions are. And we know that emotions can never be trusted. So, you know, that lands us where we are today.
Okay, Rev. Well, listen, we're going to get to the nitty and the gritty tonight. I want the unadulterated truth, because what some of these women that are listening, what they're listening about this church thing, how they should dress and how they should act, and if they should wait for some man to come and holler at them and date. Let's get real about it, because I think that's what people, not that y'all answers weren't real and they weren't true. It's true. But I think that oftentimes, you know, we kind of church the answer over, if you know what I'm saying. Like we church the answer over when what the young ladies are really saying is, I haven't found a husband yet, and y'all keep telling me to wait on my husband, and y'all keep telling me to adorn myself, and y'all keep telling me to do this and that and that, and I still don't have a man. Do I even, at this point, even really need a man now? Can it just be me and Jesus? Like, so let's get often into that discussion, because back in the day, like I said, women dressed a certain way, much different than what they dress today. Is that an issue today in the church? Are women dressing too provocatively? Is there a saved way to dress? Is there an unsaved way to dress? To that, you say, Rev, I'll start with you.
So I'm not saying anything. The Bible teaches us, and when I say us, it teaches men and women not to dress in a provocative way. And so I know people say we want to always give a church answer, or as you say, we want to church it over. Well, I mean, that's our only basis for morals. Allegedly, that's how this country, the United States, was founded on Christian principles. And we could see some of those Christian principles in television early on. The Dick Van Dyke Show, they slept in twin beds. When they showed the bedroom, they very rarely showed, you would see there would be twin beds in there. Back in the day in TV, there was not a lot of kissing done on TV. Same thing for the Lucy Show. There were twin beds, so for a married couple. So there were standards, and those standards came from the Bible. And so if someone wants to know the truth, I can't give them a truth that's connected to me outside of giving them the truth that's spelled out in the Bible. And so when the Bible tells us not to be provocative, just as a woman should not have on clothes that exposes parts of her body that are meant for her husband only to see, nor should a man have on clothes that give women a thought of experiencing something with him based on what they can see that belongs to his wife once he's married. And so I think that part of the problem has been is that because the majority of the pastors, especially back in the day, were always men, we always got this one-sided conversation that seemed to be so extremely judgmental towards women because the pastors were all men. Well, the teaching then abused what really the point that God was making, and so that's what kind of ran people away. The truth of the matter is God expects men and women to dress moderately, to not dress in a way that's provoking thoughts or actions. And so this whole sense of just thinking that it's about I want to do something, it's just not about actions. It's about me looking at a woman who's scantily dressed, or a woman looking at a man whose clothes are so tight you can see the quarter, the face on George Washington's quarter. So it's a two-way street, and we got to understand that God never intended for it to be that way. There's a way for us to dress moderately, not just at church, in life period, that says, hey, I not only respect God, but I respect myself. And I think that the church has not done the kind of job on a whole that it should have, teaching out that principle that it's not only about women dressing moderately, conservatively, but it's about men dressing the same way. It's about having a godly character about yourself that is shown through the way you dress. So I think that hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, well, I mean, that answers the question. I think if we have women who are doing that are dressing modestly, who are, you know, in the church and they're serving the Lord and they're waiting on their husband, they're covering, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. Do women, if they don't have husbands, even need a male covering in the home, spiritually, a male covering in the home? I think what the question is that, you know, since, you know, the young ladies are waiting, women are waiting for their husband, and they're doing everything that you're saying, I think what they're asking is, do these things have to continue to apply, these standards that you're talking about, or is the needle kind of pushed a little bit, considering the type of culture we live in today, social media, everything, all the everything that people are wearing is changing. You say the guys' outfits shouldn't be tight. Well, fitted clothes for men are in. You know, that's what men are wearing. Even the preachers, even the ministers, those pants are a little tighter than they used to be. The shirts are a little tighter than they used to be. Same thing with the women. The style and the culture, things have changed since back in the day when the women wore the long dresses and they wore the big hats and they covered a lot of their face and all that kind of stuff. They didn't wear as much makeup. Things have changed, and women are dressing a lot different. Does that mean they're not as, quote-unquote, saved? Does that mean that they can't, you know, do a little extra to try to catch, you know, brother deacon, minister deacon, pastor so-and-so, you know, eye over there and say he might see something he like? I mean, we all want a God-fearing woman, but at the same time, we also want something we can look at, too. I mean, if we're being perfectly honest, you know, and the same thing with the women. And so, Jeanette, I want to give you an opportunity to comment and kind of just, expound on some of the things that you've been hearing and dealing with as far as this issue goes.
Well, I totally agree with the Reverend. And and to what you said about what's in and what's now, I had a lot to say, but, you know, it falls away when you're listening. But I want to say this. Do we want to be pleasers of men or pleasers of God?
Yes.
Does not matter. It does not matter what's in. What matters is if you are pleasing God. And you can't find a husband. You can't find a husband because there are none out here, because we're coddling the boys. We're not teaching the boys to be men. They're walking around with dresses on. They're walking around with makeup on, and they're, as Joseph said, the church is not, people go to church, somebody keep inviting me to church all the time, but they're still cheating and doing whatever they're doing. So if you're going to church every Sunday and you're going to church on Wednesday, but you're not getting convicted because of your lifestyle, yeah. what am I doing at your church that you invited me to?
Yeah,
so, see, the
yeah.
church is not doing their job. And as far as how those, I've seen a young lady on Facebook, she had went to church, and her book, she had on the sheer thing up top. So I wanted to comment and say, well, you don't need to be naked in order for the man that God has for you to feed you. See, the
Amen.
Older women need to teach the younger women as well, you know, and they need to, and the only way you
yeah.
can teach them is through example, just as me being
yeah.
a grandmother. You know, around my grandchildren, you know what I'm saying? Talking to them about God and how they should live and how they should carry themselves. A woman of God is not going to find a man of God. She's going to find somebody that's lusting after her body if she comes to church with her boobs out. And that, guess what? That marriage is not going to last because it is not based on the principles of on lust. It is based on lasciviousness, which is of the enemy. So it is not God ordained. It is not going to last. And if you're doing everything you're supposed to do, who God has for you, it will come. But a lot of times we get impatient, me included. So I'm not judging anyone. We get in, we get tired of waiting. We get restless, and we say,
mm-hmm.
"Well, God, I'm tired of waiting. I can't wait no longer." And then we got this brother over here talking about God created sex. He wanted us to. So
mm-hmm.
the church got to
mm-hmm.
start doing what they're supposed to do. The women of the church need to be an example to the younger women, as I'm trying to set an example for my children and my grandchildren, regardless if they listen. As Joseph used to say, plant the seed. God say, plant the seed. Let somebody else come along and water it. So that's the unadulterated
yeah.
truth right there. Are we going to be pleasers of men, or are we going to be pleasers of God? We need to start following
mm-hmm.
after God and following after Christ and
yeah.
what he has for us, and let him bring everything else.
Yeah.
Brother Manny, I just want to add this
because Jeanette is on it. I mean, listen, what it really boils down to is a lack of faith. Because if you don't trust that God's word is true and is timeless, listen, it worked back in the day. Why can't it work now? Well, we say it can't work now. We say it's not working now, but the truth of the matter is we don't want it to work now because we just want what we want, and we want how we want it. And it, like I said, it really goes back to a lot of the churches, because as pastors, we want the church to be filled. And so we have gotten to a place where we have watered down the gospel so bad till we let any and everybody – now, hear me when I say this. I'm not saying that people who have a simple lifestyle should not be in church. They should be in church, because guess what? Everybody's going to have some form of sin, but not everybody, especially leaders, should be in church practicing sin. And nor should we have people who are practicing sin in any kind of leadership role or up in the front or whatever the case.
Amen.
Have people repent and turn from their wicked ways, then yes, let them serve. But the problem has been because we decided to have a church filled, we let any and everybody do any and everything, and with that spirit comes the foolishness that accompanies the way people are dressing, the way people are looking. And don't get me wrong, the Bible doesn't teach that women cannot wear makeup. It just says that they should not wear it to the point where it's being provocative. And it doesn't teach that women can't wear pants. I know the Holiness Church just took that and ran with it, but what it was really was teaching against lesbianism. And so when it's all said and done, anything we do in moderation, and if we really want to find some apparel, we can make this excuse about where the fashion industry is today, but if we really wanted to find something that was presentable to wear to church, we could find something to wear presentable to church. And if a woman really desires to find a husband, so let's start right there. The Bible says a man that finds a good wife finds a good thing. A woman just has to put herself, and I'm not trying to say this like it's a super easy process, but it's not an impossible process either. But she has to do some work. And to Jeanette's point, it's one thing to make yourself presentable, come to church, be a godly woman, and listen, God will let a godly man be attracted to that. But if you come to church looking like, you know, that you were working on the corner, or, you know what I mean, then that's what you're going to attract. And men will always, especially men that are not solid in the faith, they're going to always get away with whatever they can that a woman allows them to get away with. And I say that it's both ways. Women have to put their foot down, and men have to start being men. And men have to start being men. But it goes back to another point Jeanette made. We got to raise our kids right. But we can't raise our kids right because we acting a fool in church too. And so I can speak from my own perspective. When I wasn't delivered, I was in church acting a plum fool. And guess what? You got to repent of that. You got to go back and ask God to sever all those generational curses, all those lines of iniquity, all those ungodly soul ties. When we start getting into what we think and get away from the scripture, because the scripture will illuminate what the real problem is. A lot of people in church got soul ties. We got ungodly soul ties. Our children are being raised with lines of iniquity that they had nothing to do with, but came from their parents and their grandparents. And we got to stop playing church. We got to stop just being satisfied with running around the church and shouting and yelling. And that's fine in this place, but we got to get back to a place where we're teaching the unadulterated word of God. And if it was good enough for God to put it in his Bible, then it's good enough for us to follow it and say, you know what, God, I'm going to believe you. If I was a woman, I'm going to believe you until you send me a husband. If you're saying that you have a husband for me, I'm going to believe that until he comes. But while I'm waiting on him, I'm going to be a godly woman. I'm going to work, because there's work to be done on both sides. Waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. Waiting does not mean doing nothing. There's work to be done. You keep walking upright. You keep your conversation pure and holy. Stop talking to single women just because you're single at the time. There's single women who don't want to get married. Stop talking to them because they're going to discourage you from, girl, you can come on out to the club, or you could do it this way. No, I'm going to do it God's way. And God said, if I keep myself holy, he said, if women keep themselves holy before God, guess what? He'll send a godly man their way. And if a godly man knows what's good for him, he'll seek out a godly woman, not just a woman who boobs are showing or she got on tight jeans, she got a big old behind. Listen, know this. I'm 53. All that stuff fades. Beauty fades. The man with the 48-inch chest, sometimes that'll go. Beauty will fade, man. What you going to have in the long run? So stop just looking at the outside. And we need to search out what how God wants, because when God joins a thing together, it won't be cut asunder.
Amen. Amen. I agree with you, Rev. I agree with you, and I agree with you, Jeanette. I think one of the things, and please, everyone who's listening, if you're listening right now live, you can call in 323-870-3403 with your comment, question, or prayer request. I think I want to touch on something that you talked about. I know you mentioned that, you know, you're older, and Jeanette, you are a little older, and you guys have experienced some things, and you've dated, and you've gotten married, and whatever. But you have someone out there who's in the church, a young lady, who's in her maybe 20s, early 20s, who's saying, hey, listen, I hear what y'all saying, but y'all been there before. Y'all lived y'all life. Y'all older, okay? These guys out here, they not up in the church like that looking for somebody like me. I haven't met nobody yet. Because let's just be honest. A large portion of the men who come to church who are single looking for a wife, they looking for the best-looking ones. They looking for the ones that have this and that and the other. And some of the young ladies, they get left out of the fray. You know, they've been waiting on the husband. They've been praying on the husband. They've been doing everything they possibly can to get a husband. And that person just may not end up with a husband. How do you explain that to them? Like, maybe it's not God's will that you have a husband. You know, and then that brings me to my question. Is the male covering necessary in the home? Does a woman have to be married in order to have that spiritual covering in the home? Do do women need men necessarily? If this woman isn't going to be married, there are a lot of women in the church that never remarry, and they never get with somebody else after their husband passes away or divorces them or separates from them. They never get back married, you know. And then there are men out here who don't, let's just be honest, Rev, they don't want to be married. They want to be single, but they're still in a part of, they are still a part of the church. So how necessary, I guess my question is, how necessary is the union in the church? And how should we be grooming the young people coming up? How should we be grooming them and getting them ready for this process that is called getting married or being married? So that's like a three-part question. You know, what do we say to the young lady who's never going to get married? She's, you know, she's been praying. She's been crying out to the Lord. She's been fasting. She's been doing everything. And she still hasn't found a husband. Husband hasn't found her. And she may not have a husband. What do we say to her? And then what can we do to help ready these younger people to get them wrapped around the mindset of, hey, this is how this dating thing works. This is how this marriage thing works. And then lastly, are men needed in the home as a spiritual covering? Well,
I would say, no, it's not necessary for a man to be in a home to cover a woman. I mean, they're going to be, by virtue of the fact that there are far more women than there are men, especially in today's society where most of our men are, especially in the black community, are incarcerated. Black and brown men, Hispanic and black, are incarcerated. So we know that God wouldn't say, well, since your husband is incarcerated or since you don't have a husband, then you just don't have a covering, so you're just uncovered. And no, listen, it's about having a personal relationship with God. And even if you're married, this should be a personal relationship that you have with God, even in your marriage, as well as a corporate relationship that you and your spouse have with God. So we don't lose identity because we get married, no more than God doesn't have a relationship with us because we're not married and we don't have a man and he's not our covering. So, no, so that's not necessary. And for women who may not have a husband, the question is, have they sat still long enough to ask God if they're ever going to have a husband? And if God has said to them that they're going to have a husband, I would say that God is not a God that won't lie. And so that at some point they will eventually have a husband. But again, I think part of the problem what we have done is that we have tried to go ahead of God and we have settled for anything. Back to Jeanette's point one more time, the men need to mentor the young men and let them know this is how you treat a woman, this is what you should look for in a wife, and the women need to mentor the young ladies on how to conduct themselves and carry themselves, because we can, again, all we want say, I know that's how the Bible said do it, however, I've been doing it that way and it's not working. Well, that's an untruth. You can never say you've been doing it the Bible way and it's not working. What you can say is you've been doing it the Bible way and you've grown impatient and now you're tired of waiting, and because that's what happens to us most often, is that we get tired of waiting on God, and so therefore we begin to try to handle things in our own ability. And when you do that, you get the result of your own foolishness. And so I love the Bible when it says that if you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap in the Spirit. So if you do it God's way, you're going to reap a blessing doing it God's way. But when you sow to your flesh, you're going to get the product of what your flesh decided, of what your limited intellect has decided. And here, let's say this. When the Bible talks about not having sex before marriage, now, I dare say if we took a poll at church, in churches, I'm not talking about in the world, but if we took a poll in churches of the married couples that were attending church and before you got married, how many couples actually had sex, actually fornicated before they got married, even though they were in church, I'm willing to bet you that at least 30% of those people are going to say that they had sex before marriage. Well, the Bible teaches us not to do that. Why? Because it makes us unbiased. And when we see these red flags, when we're dating, we ignore them and we end up in a bad situation. And so what those situations end up doing is saying, well, I tried it God's way, but God's way didn't work, so I'm going to do it my way. But the truth of the matter is you didn't stay consistent with God's way. You tried it God's way, you got impatient, and you did what you thought you wanted to do. And so I would say to the woman that is single, if God told you you're going to have a husband, you will eventually have one. So stay patient, but keep working and doing your part, and God will make sure that that happens. I would say to the young man the very same thing. Listen, you know, we understand the point of what we want. We want a woman to look a certain way. Well, guess what? Women want men to look a certain way. Women tired of deadbeat guys. They're tired of guys with bad credit. So, you know, it's a two-way street. But if you get together and do it God's way, keep the sex out of it, have a conversation, we will avoid a lot of mistakes if we really just do it God's way. And so I hope I answered all three questions.
Amen. Amen. I want to switch gears and talk about what should a man be looking for in a woman. As we come closer to the end of the broadcast, and I know we didn't have anybody call in, but, you know, what should a man be looking for in a woman? I, you know, referenced the scripture in 1 Timothy earlier that talks about how women should be dressed and how they should act and how they should, you know, not behave themselves, but how they should carry themselves. In the church and outside the church. So I'm real interested to know what do they look for, you know, in a young lady today, you know, that's in the church. All these young ladies that are going to be listening and you know, I'm interested to know what men on the outside are looking for when they look for. And so, I'm going to go ahead and bring on our next caller. God bless you, caller. You're on God's Word to Man. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, what's up, bro? It's Josh, man.
Hey, right. God bless you, Josh. I just was just talking about something that you and I talk about often, what men are necessarily looking for when they approach women who are in the church. We're talking about the role of women in modern Christianity and you know, how the roles have switched. And you have a lot of women out there saying they don't need a man. You know, a lot of women out there dressing a certain way, acting a certain way, trying to find a husband. And so it's like on both ends of the spectrum, you know, you got this kind of, you know, behavior, I would say, that we're kind of studying or talking about right now. I know you've dated in the past some young ladies in the church, so what are some of the things that you expect to see, or from your experience, you say, well, this could have been different or that could have been different? Whatever you can share will be fine.
Well, I guess, like you're saying, what do I do as a man that doesn't attend church? I live my life, you know, outside of the church. As far as if I were to pursue a woman that is in the church, that's basically what you're asking, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for me, a lot of it depends on the level, the stage that the woman is, whatever stage she's in. It depends on, I mean, that kind of dictates how I go about it. What I mean by that is, you know, some women, they at church every Sunday, they're very active, and, you know, that's really their thing. But then you have some that don't. They choose to pursue their relationship. Maybe not so much going to church all the time, or maybe they just like to study their Bible. Maybe they have somebody that they personally study with. So for me, I'm not going to even play the role. I'm not going to waste a woman's time. If that's what she's looking for, if she's looking for a man that's active in the church, and I'm not going to waste her time. I know I'm not what she's looking for. No matter how interested I am, I just won't waste my time in that manner.
Amen.
Yeah. I know that, because I know what I'm not going to commit to.
Amen.
Okay. I asked you that, and I asked you to comment on it because I think that it's relevant because you have a lot of young ladies who they're looking for husbands, they're looking for mates in the church, and because they don't see it there or God hasn't sent them their mate, they oftentimes look outside the church. And I know that you've done that, been there, done that, and dated young ladies in the church, but I want that perspective as to, okay, you know, these young ladies are looking outside the church, and sometimes it doesn't work out, and like you said, you don't even waste her time. So that's a whole percentage of guys who are outside the church that they're not gonna they won't have access to necessarily. And like I said, some young ladies they still date guys outside the church and just hope that, oh well, if I keep dating them, if I stay with this guy, then I can bring him on. I can get him to come to church with me, and we're gonna be like this big happy family, and we're gonna get married, and this, that, and the other. Those are sometimes the expectations, and so I want to kind of touch on that. And with your experience, you saying like, listen, yeah, if she's going to church a lot, you know, and that's and there's nothing wrong with that, and you know, you don't think anything is wrong with that, but you just know that's not for you. So
yeah,
there are a lot of women out here.
I'm sorry, I got another experience, man. Actually, before, this was about a year and a half ago, young lady I've been knowing for a while, worked together 12, 13 years ago. We worked together. Always cool, never tried to date, never pursued her. We recently had, like early last year, we had a little gathering where we kind of reconvened everybody. Just a little reunion of people that, you know, we worked together, we hung out and stuff, and she took a liking to me. She showed that she expressed interest in me, but I also knew that she was really in the church, and that's what, you know, that's a thing, man. Like she's into it, and I'm like, look, you know, I'm telling her that, hey, you know, that's not how I live my life. Hey, if that's what you do, fine. You know, we can be friends. We can remain friends. She insisted this woman wanted to date me, and then what I found was she was willing to step outside of that just for the sake of being with me. Just to make herself seem like I was what she wanted, and even though I told her I'm not gonna attend church with you. That's not my thing. And at first that was fine. Then it was like, so you would never? No, that's just not my thing, right? So even after that, I mean, she kind of got upset with me when she couldn't change. You know, and I'm telling her, hey, I don't need you. I definitely don't need you stepping outside of yourself, trying to compromise what you believe, what you say you believe, and what you've committed yourself to for me, because I'm not going in that direction. And her thing was, well, it's no young men. At my church, it's all old men or either kids. It's really no young guys my age, you know. And I've heard that a lot. Even when I was going to church, it was only me and maybe five guys our age. So women our age, they feel like there's not a lot of men in the church that their age. They either got to go old, you know, or they got to step outside the church.
Gotcha. Man, I really appreciate your perspective on this because I don't want the listeners and people to think it's like just one-sided. Like, you know, my brother, Rev, and myself and my sister, we're all Christians and we are part of the church, and you know, and like I said, we can give you the right answer, the God's answer from God's word. But sometimes it's great to hear a perspective like, okay, you have young ladies out there thinking and saying just like what you just said. Where's my husband gonna come from? There are no young men at my church. It's all old men. And so I appreciate that, Josh. I appreciate you calling in. Obviously, you're welcome to call
in. I appreciate
it
too as well, Josh.
No doubt.
What's going on, Josh?
So he's gone, Rev. Sorry about that.
It's all good.
Yeah, so maybe he'll call back.
Yeah, he shouldn't have left so soon. Yeah. I was getting ready to compliment him and just tell him that I appreciate what he said, because he does represent a small percentage of men who will bag back. There are not many, because as Joseph said, not as, you know, plain, but men are going to, at the end of the day, if they're not really rooted in God, they're going to be men, and they're going to take women upon their offer if they're, you know, just as that woman pursued Josh, like, you know what, I'm willing to give up the church. Well, you know what, she didn't necessarily have to give up the church, but what she was doing was giving up on her relationship with Christ. Because it's not about church, but it's right. about you giving up your relationship with Christ. And truly,
right.
she didn't have the faith. And I wanted to expound just quickly on what Joseph was saying about the young lady who was praying and praying and praying for their husband. The Bible says that God will not withhold any good thing for those who walk uprightly. So we just have to be patient.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah,
a case-by-case basis. We can't just say she's not getting – there may be some factors there. There may be some things going on, some things that need to be addressed, which she should address with her counselor, be it a natural counselor or a godly counselor, but things that need to be addressed. But just try and hold on to that situation that God will not withhold any good thing for those who walk uprightly before him. You know, you have to believe, he says in his word, that we have to believe that those things that we pray for, that we have them. You can't pray for them and then doubt.
That's it.
So,
that's it.
But I appreciate Josh View, because he does represent a small percentage of men. I have not run into any of them, but a small percentage of men who, because like Joseph said, the reality of it is if he's not rooted in God, which a lot of them are not, I have run into men who want to catch me in my weakness, who want to catch me, well, you know what, I'm just tired of waiting on God. So I thank God for Josh. I thank God that his integrity said, you know what, you know, he didn't want that on his, you know what I'm saying, on his background. He didn't want that, you know, on him, that he caused this woman to stray. Even though he didn't play a big role in it, she was just willing, you know what I'm saying? You know, he didn't put a gun to her hand, but I just thank God for Josh.
She was
he
thirsty.
Stood his ground.
I just like to keep it real on Monday night. She wanted a man. And she was in church, and she said, well, look, God, I want a godly man. You know, I'm here in church. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, but there are no young men in the church. And so that's one of the things we want to talk about. Like, why is there such a lack of young men in the church who want to be devoted to Christ and who want to live that Christ walk and do this journey as the Bible has outlined for us to do? Where are all the young men? Why are there only older men? And you know what them older men, a lot of them older men, you know what they thinking. I'm just saying, let's just be honest and plain about it. Not all, but, you know, you hear about what the deacons is doing and this, that, and the other. But my question is, if there are no young men, if there are no prospects in the church, we say all the time, God going to send your husband. God going to send your husband. There are hundreds, thousands of women out here with no husband. What do we say to them? What do we say to them? We just keep quoting scripture.
I think someone like the Rev or you, or you know, definitely myself.
Not
like
Rev,
I said, it's a baby project of mine. We need to start just like a date site, a real date site. You know what I'm saying? Not a site particular, but you could like. You know, at church, maybe this particular Saturday, we got a single situation. You know what I'm saying? But we have to have people that are truly rooted in God, because we don't want to play God in these people's lives. We don't want to put people together and it's a disaster. I think that would be a start. But it needs a young man named Dr. Umar Johnson, who's trying to start a school. And he's saying that in his school, there will be no weed. There will be no homosexual men. So, like, he's made up in his mind that in this school that he's going to, I think it's going to be called Mega Evers, I'm not sure, but he's made up in his mind that he's going to be so pro-black, he's not going to allow the young ladies to wear the, you know, the weave in their hair, because that's not represent, that's not black love. He's not going to allow those young men to wear their pants down, because that's not how young men, strong young black men, are supposed to present themselves. So I think as a church, we need to do the same thing. If this is a man of God, he needs to teach these other men how to treat women, how to treat, like with my grandson, when they go down the stairs for school, I tell them, wait for your sister. Hold on, if the stairs are slippery, you wait for your sister. So we have to start teaching them at a young age how they are supposed to take care of the woman, and so that the woman can eat, the little girl can even get used to being taken care of. But because of the woman's attitude, I don't need to be taken care of. And like Justice, well, it doesn't need to be a covering. If it's a single, if she's single, she doesn't have any children, fine. What I'm speaking about is the household where there are children. There needs too many women. I don't need a man to raise my kids. Well, that's strange, because you certainly needed a man to have. So again,
you better know
these things. You know what? I just get so tired of women playing themselves. And like I said, it's a baby. I pray that it flourishes. I pray that it blows up, and I can reach women. You know, because of the things that I've been through and everything. Because it just really, we need to get our babies. We need to get our future. My grandchildren, my little granddaughters, so they'll know what to expect and what's not right. You know what I'm saying? What's not godly. It's no longer what's right, but what's righteous. You know, we need to teach our offspring that.
Amen. That's real.
Go ahead, Rev. I know you got to get out of here.
Right.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I know Rev got a conference call. Go ahead, Rev, with your final comment.
You know, Jeanette's just been all over it all night. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, we really, it's a two-way street, you know. We got to get the truth, first of all, back in the pulpit. And we got to teach men how to be men and women how to be women. And we got to teach even our young ladies, it ain't just about looking for a man at your church. You can find God ain't just sending godly men through church. You can bump into a godly man at the grocery store. You can bump into a godly man at the DMV. So we got to get that part of it. We got to dispel that myth, right? Be on the lookout for a godly man, not just at church. So, you know, that's not an excuse that it's just old men at my church. God ain't just sending women and husbands at church. Amen. That's that. And as far as the mentorship part, she's right. We really got to get back to a place where it's in church and at home. Those are two of the places where we have a big audience at. And so we must be showing a man by example, not always by conversation. And so if we've had a life that was not as godly, like, listen, some of the mistakes I made growing up, I went back to some of the women in my life, and I apologized to them, because that's what the Holy Spirit led me to do, because I was in error. And so you never know when you're obedient to God, whether it's going back and apologizing. What your kids will now see you do and say, wow, my dad might have lived this particular lifestyle at one particular point, but now, you know, I just witness him, you know, humble himself, because he want to be right in the sight of God. So, you know, Jeanette kind of touched on that, and we really got to be in a place where we are living a godly life and not just always telling our kids stuff. See, a lot of times kids hear what we say, but they see what we do. And when they contradict, the devil is right there telling them, see, your parent ain't nothing but a hypocrite. You shouldn't listen to that. Just do what's pleasing to you. But I'm telling you, the Bible has been a book. That book has been around for an extremely long time. It's going to always be around. It ain't never been wrong. And if we do it God's way, we cannot go wrong. I appreciate Brother Josh saying, hey, listen, I tried to tell her this ain't what I'm going to do. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of, not just women, a lot of men have suffered from low self-esteem, and they settle too. When you get to a point where you settle for anything, then that's what you're going to be married to. You're going to have to deal with the fruit of that. But when you wait on God and say, God, I'm not going to just settle for some man who's going to knock me upside my head or some woman who's going to be unfaithful to me. I'm not settling for that because that ain't what you have for me, God. I came rightly upright, walk upright in ministry because I'm trying to keep this marriage together. So God doesn't want us in a bad marriage, but he wants us to be obedient to him. He wants to be obedient to his word. He wants us to believe him, have faith, and I'm going to say a cuss word. He wants us to be patient. And that's when we get in trouble.
Amen,
we don't want to wait.
Man. Thank you.
Bless y'all.
No, we don't want to wait.
Thank you, Reverend.
We don't want to wait. God bless you. Thanks,
bless
ma'am.
You,
I appreciate
you. I enjoyed you immensely. I'm telling you. But I've always known there was anointing on your life. There's anointing on all Elaine's children. My mother was a phenomenal woman, and I thank God that she left a heritage of 11 anointed children, and I'm looking forward
Amen.
To the day when we're all working in ministry together. Love y'all.
Amen.
I'll talk to you soon.
Love you.
Amen. Love
Bye-bye.
You too, Rev.
Right. Bye-bye. Yep.
All right. Jeanette, would you like to make a final comment?
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. And thank you so much, Brother Emmanuel, for this blog radio, the spiritual blessing upon the people. And I pray that many people listen to our statements tonight that we made. And I just thank you so much for having me on. I enjoyed it. I look forward to being on again. And again, as I said, God will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. I just can't say that enough. If we do what we're supposed to do, he'll do what he is supposed to do. Well, what he already said he was going to do, what's already done. What's already done.
Amen.
So I just thank God for tonight and being able to discuss my baby, one
Amen.
Of my babies.
Amen.
Amen.
And again, you're more than welcome to come on. And if you have a topic, we can, hey, listen, we can bust it out on a Monday night and we can open up these phone lines. Sometimes people call in, sometimes they don't, but they do listen. And so what you have done here tonight, I'm sure, has sparked conversation in relationships, marriages, families, all over. So I appreciate you and love you, and I hope you have a blessed evening, okay?
You as well. I love you too. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, folks, there you have it. Another Blog Talk Radio broadcast brought to you by God's Word to Man on Monday nights, open line night. Again, you can call in at any time when we're on Monday nights. This has been a blessing. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for our caller, Josh, who called in, our brother Josh, who called in and gave us some very profound insight into the topic tonight. I'd like to thank Rev, Reverend Joseph Charles Murphy Sr. He is the pastor of the Caring Church of Memphis, who also has a Facebook page on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, go on over to the Caring Church of Memphis and follow and like that page, okay? Again, God's Word to Man also has a Facebook page. Go on over there and follow and like that page as well. I'll be posting nonstop all week, videos, posts, prayer requests. We take prayer requests. I blast it out to all of our listeners and the brothers and sisters all over the world to pray for your prayer requests. So if you do have one, you can submit me a private direct message of what it is that the prayer request is about, and I'll send it out for you, okay? It's been a great evening. I thank God for you. May God bless you. May God keep you. And may God go with you until we meet again. This is your brother, Brother Manny. I love you. God bless you.
That virtuous woman.